Welcome to Modern Shakespeare Uncensored. The show is uncensored, so there will be language and adult jokes. I do this in my translations because I want the show to be real to Shakespeare. I want the sexual jokes and the foul language to come through in a modern age. I want listeners to enjoy Shakespeare the way the Groundlings did. This episode, we will be performing Romeo and Juliet, Act 1. The voices for this episode are Joshua Bastian, Anthony Crislip, Bradley McNutt, Sophia Louise Reed, Christopher Seifert, Lance Wilfred, Mikayla Wilfred, and Tori Whitaker. A more specific cast is posted on our website. We hope you enjoy.
Romeo and Juliet, Act 1, Prologue. Enter chorus.
Two lords' houses in Verona, Italy is where we start. An old fight still causes mischiefs, and civilians kill other civilians. Born into these two families, a pair of doomed lovers will commit suicide. Their terrible fate and their death end their parents' fight. The path that led to their doomed love and the continued feud that only their death could end is the story we will tell over the next 2 hours. If you listen patiently, we will fill in the blanks of this tale.
Scene 1. Verona, a public place. Enter Samson and Gregory of the House of Capulet, armed with swords.
Gregory, I am done taking shit from the Montagues.
No, because then they'll offend you.
If we're offended, then we can fight them.
Yeah? Just don't stick out your neck to be hanged.
I will attack quickly when provoked.
Yeah, but you do take a minute to be provoked.
A lowly Montague ass would drive me to fight.
To drive you is to cause you to run. To be brave is to stand and fight. So you're driven to run away.
That Montague will motivate me to fight. And I'll stand against the wall with a Montague, male or female.
Then you are a weak warrior, for the weakest is against the wall.
That's true, and that's why women, being weaker, are pushed up against the wall. So, I will push Montague's men away from the wall, and push his women up the wall.
The fight is only between the masters and the men.
All the same, I will be vicious. When I've beaten the men, I will point my sword to the women.
You would use your sword on the maids?
Of course. Either my metal sword or sword between my legs. Whatever you think I mean.
They know what you mean when you penetrate them.
And I will penetrate them until I can no longer stand. And everyone knows I have a pretty piece of flesh.
If a flesh sword is supposed to be wet and active as a fish, then we know your dry, shriveled dick is pretty terrible. Draw your sword. Here come two Montague men.
My sword is out. Go fight. I have your back.
Yeah, by running away?
Don't worry about me.
Of course I worry about you.
Let's follow the law and make them start it.
I will frown at them and see how that makes them feel.
No. I'll flip them off. Which is humiliating if they ignore it.
Enter Abraham and Balthasar.
Did you flip us off?
I did point with my middle finger, yes.
Did you flip us off?
Aside to Gregory.
Will the cops be with us if I claim to be taunting them?
Nah.
No, I don't flip you off, but I do raise my middle finger.
Do you want to fight?
Fight? Absolutely
not. If you do want to fight, let's do it. My master's as good as yours.
As good, maybe, but not better.
If you say so.
Say our master's better. Here comes one of his knights.
Our master's better.
You liar.
If you really are men, fight us. Gregory, hope you remember how to fight.
They fight. Enter Benvolio.
Separate, you idiots! Put your swords away! You don't know what you're doing! Put the swords down!
Enter Tybalt.
Are you pointing your sword on these harmless servants? Fight me instead, Benvolio, since you know I will win.
I want to keep the peace. Put away your sword or use it to help me break up this fight!
Your sword is out and you are talking of peace. I hate peace. Like I hate hell. All Montagues and you. Fight me, coward!
They fight. Enter. Several of both houses, who join the fray. Then enter citizens with clubs.
Everyone strike them! Beat them down!
Down with the Capulets!
Down with the Montagues!
Enter Capulet in his gown, and Lady Capulet.
What's that sound? You, give me my sword.
You need a cane. Why do you want your sword?
I said my sword. The old Lord Montague is coming, and has his sword out to fight me.
Enter Montague and Lady Montague.
There's Capulet! Don't hold me back! Let me fight!
You will not go anywhere if you just want to fight.
Enter Prince with attendants.
You rebels who ruin the peace of my city? Who use their swords in neighborhoods? Are they not listening? You stop! You animals! Who use fighting to calm your harmful anger? Even with some of you bleeding? I will torture any of you who do not drop your weapons to the ground and listen to what your princesses say. Three fights started, by you, Capulet and Montague, that have disturbed the peace all three times, and have made Verona's citizens remove their civilian clothes and to wield up their sword, trying to make peace where you spread hate. If your men fight in the streets again, your lives will pay the price. For now, everyone go away. Capulet, you come with me. And Montague, come this afternoon. Come to the courthouse to know what I decide. If you all don't leave right now, I will put you to death.
All exit but Montague, Lady Montague, and Benvolio.
Who started up this fight? Tell me, nephew, were you here when it started?
Capulet's servants and your servants were fighting when I got here. At the moment I pulled out my sword to separate them, the always ready to fight Tybalt, with his sword already out, which, as he talked down about you, he swung above his head, which didn't hurt anyone, but it hissed his angry words. While he and I were fighting, more and more people came from both sides until the prince came to separate us.
Where is Romeo? Have you seen him today? I'm glad he wasn't in this fight.
Madam, 1 hour before the sun rose in the east, I awoke troubled and went for a walk. And underneath the sycamore tree on the west side, I saw your son walking too. I started to walk toward him, and when he saw me, he ran off into the forest. I knew based on my own thoughts that he wanted to be left alone, followed my instinct not to follow him, and then was happy to shun someone who had run from me.
He has been seen there many mornings, crying into the fresh morning dew, adding more clouds using his sighs. But as soon as the cheer from the sun begins to show in the east to remove the curtain of night, my son returns home and goes to his bedroom, closes the blinds on his windows to block the light out, to continue to exist in his fake night. Dark thoughts will continue in his head unless he gets some good advice.
Noble uncle, do you know why he's upset?
I don't know, and he won't tell me.
Have you asked him?
I have, and so many other people. But he, giving himself emotional advice, is keeping to himself. I cannot say how much, but only he knows what is so secret. He is so far from helping himself. Like a flower bud, he needs to open up to the world and see the sun for once. If we knew what was wrong, we would be more willing to help.
Enter Romeo.
Well, here he comes. If you want, I will find out what's bothering him.
I wish you luck to find out what's wrong. Come on, madam. Let's go.
Exit Montague and Lady Montague.
Good morning, cousin.
Is it that early?
The clock just chimed for 9.
Oh, no. Sadness makes time drag on. Was that my dad who just left quickly?
It was. What is the sadness that drags your days?
Not having something that makes the day go quickly.
Are you in love?
I'm out.
Of love?
Out of sight of the girl who I'm in love with.
Oh man, that kind of love. That love which overrules a person and is rough.
This love who has blurred my vision has allowed me to see without eyes. What should we eat? Oh shit, where did this cut come from? Never mind, I already know. That came from hate. But my pain hurts more. It's from love. Why does love hurt and fighting is fun? Love comes from nothing. Love is a heavy error, a serious lie. It is ugly chaos in a beautiful body. Love is a lead feather, bright smoke, cold fire, sick health, sleep while being awake. This love I feel does not make me feel loved. Do you not laugh at me?
No, cousin. I would rather cry.
Cry? At what?
At your heart's sadness.
Why, that is how true love is. Though my sadness sits heavily in my chest, you want me to talk to you, which will only make me sadder. Love is smoke made of sighs. When the smoke is gone, it burns eyes. That can only be washed away with tears. What else is love? It is careful madness. It is choking on candy. Goodbye, cousin.
Wait, I'm coming too. And if you leave, then you will desert me.
I can't do you wrong. I'm not myself. I'm not Romeo, he's somewhere else.
Even though you are sad, tell me who you love.
Why? You want me to whine and tell you?
Whine? No, but tell me who.
Are you trying to convince a sick man to write his will? It will just make him feel sicker. Sadly, I'm in love with a woman.
I assumed you were in love.
A good guess. And she is beautiful.
Then cousin, you should be able to woo her.
Well, in that guess you miss. She'll not be won with love. She's like the virgin goddess Diana, and she is set to stay chaste. She can avoid Cupid's arrow. She will not be won with words, or won by appearance, or won with God that can corrupt a saint. She's gorgeous, and the rest of the world suffers since she will not pass the beauty to children.
So she's already sworn to be a virgin.
She has, and she is wasting her beauty. She's denying the future her genes. Since she is too smart and beautiful, it's no shock that I'm depressed. She has given up love, and because of that, I am now a dead man walking.
Listen to me. Just don't think about her.
Well, then teach me to stop thinking.
Use your eyes. Look at other beautiful women.
But that is the way to realize how beautiful she is. The fake smiles women put on are hypnotic to men. Even if a woman blinds him, a man cannot forget the beautiful face. If you show me a relatively pretty woman, what should she show me, other than to say how beautiful Rosaline is? Goodbye. You can't make me forget her.
I will prove you wrong or die in your debt.
All exit. Scene 2. A street. Enter Capulet, Paris, and Peter.
Montague will be punished same as me, but it will not be harsh, since he and I are the old men to keep peace.
Both of you are honorable men. It is sad you two have been enemies for so long. But back to our original conversation, what do you think of my idea?
I will say what I have said before. My child is still very young. She is not even 14 years old. Let her be single for 2 more summers, then she will be ready to marry.
Women younger than her have already had children.
And they are too young. My other children buried in the ground, except her. She is my everything. But you can try and woo her. She will do what I say mostly, but she also needs to make her own choice. As long as she and I agree, tonight I am having a feast, where I am inviting many people that I like, and you will also be invited. The more the merrier. Tonight we will be in my house, with the stars in the sky, which is the best time for young men, at the end of April, with winter finally being fully removed. Women are like flowers that bloom at night. In my house we will see all types of men, and they will all try to woo her, but I will only vouch for you. Many men can ask me for her, and I won't let any have her. Let's go now.
To Peter, giving a paper.
Sir, go around, through all of Verona, find the people on the list, and invite them to my house to stay a while.
Exit, Capulet and Paris.
I must find the people whose names are written here. Also, it's written here that a shoemaker makes dresses, that a seamstress makes shoes, and as well as a painter catches fish, and a fisherman draws. Anyway, I need to find the people written here, and I have no way to read what's written. I must find someone who's literate. Here soon.
Enter Benvolio and Romeo.
Hey, another love can help you get over this one. Like how you worry less about your sadness when your friend is sad. And when you are dizzy from spinning around, just turn the other way. You can get over this by moving on. Find someone else to get your eye, and everything terrible about the other will end.
Drugs should fix that.
What will fix it?
When you hurt your shin.
Romeo, are you crazy?
No, I'm not crazy, but I am thinking more than a madman. I am kept prisoner to my own head without food. I'm tortured and beat and... Oh, hello, sir. Good afternoon. Excuse me, can you read? Yes, I can read my future using my misery. You could have learned that without a book. But, I mean, can you read anything that you see? If I know the language and letters, I can. Thanks for being honest. Goodbye. Wait. I can read.
Reads.
Signor Martino and his wife and daughters. County Anselme and his sisters. The Lady Widow of Vitravio, Signor Placentio and his lovely nieces, Mercutio and his brother Valentine, mine uncle Capulet, his wife and daughters, my fair niece Rosaline, Livia, Signor Valentio and his cousin, Tybalt, Lucio, and the lively Helena. That's a lot of people. Where are they invited? There. Where? To supper at our house. Whose house? My master's? Of course, that should have been my first question. Oh, I'll tell you. My master is the great rich Capulet. And if you're not a Montague, please come visit and have a glass of wine. Have a good day.
Exit Peter.
Rosalina will be at Capulet's party, who you apparently love so much. There will also be other beautiful women. Let's go to the party and compare her to the women I pick, and I will make your swan Rosalind to be a crow.
When you love as religiously as I do, you'll understand how wrong you are, and your tears will burn. And those who don't die when drowned, these heretics to love, will be burned. You lie if you think there's anyone more beautiful than Rosaline. Even the sun that sees all hasn't seen someone as beautiful as her since the beginning of time.
You thought she was pretty because no one else was around. It is easy to be confident in your eyes when alone, but compare her, your love, Rosalind, to another woman I find at the party, and she will be nothing, even if you think she's everything now.
I will go. Not because I believe you, but to prove you wrong.
All exit. Scene 3. A room in Capulet's house. Enter Lady Capulet and Nurse.
Nurse, where is my daughter? Nurse, go get her.
I swear on my virginity I had when I was 12, I asked her to come. What is it, girl? What the hell? Where is she?
Enter Juliet.
Oh, who's calling me?
Your mother.
I'm here. What do you want?
I need to talk to you. Nurse, can you leave? We must talk in private. Nurse, come back. I remembered. We need your opinion. You know how important my daughter's age is.
I know how old she is to the hour.
Well, she is almost 14.
I will bet 14 of my teeth, though I only have 4 teeth, that she is almost 14 years old. How long is it till August 1st?
2 weeks and a few days.
Either way, she will be 14 on July 31st. Susan, who is gone, and Juliet were the same age. And Susan is with God. She was too good for me anyway. On July 31st, she will be 14, and then she will marry. I remember it well. There was an earthquake 11 years ago, the same day she stopped breastfeeding, and I will never forget it. Of all days of the year, that day, for I was cleaning my breast with the herb woodworm, sitting outside under a birdhouse. You and your husband were in Mantua. I remember it all. But anyway, when your daughter tasted the woodworm on my breast and realized it was bitter, she was irritated and let go of my breast. Then the earthquake shook the birdhouse, and without any hesitation, I ran inside, and that was 11 years ago. And at that point, she could stand, and she could walk and run around, and she could before I met her. And then my husband, God rest his soul, and it was a happy soul, picked up your daughter. Well, he said to the grumpy child, did you fall on your face? When you're smarter, you will lay on your back, will you not, Jewel? And by God, Juliet left crying and said, yes. And it was so funny to think about it now. I swear, even in 1,000 years, I will never forget it. Will you not, Jewel? He said. And the pretty foolish daughter hesitated and said, yes.
Please, shut up.
Of course, ma'am, except I can't stop laughing to think that she would run away and say yes. And she had a big bump on her forehead as big as rooster's balls. And she cried, well, said my husband, did you fall on your face? You will be on your back when you're of marrying age, will you not, Jewel? She hesitated and said, yes.
Please, nurse, I'm asking you to stop, too.
All right, I'm done. God bless you. You were the prettiest baby I nursed, and if I get to see you married, my life will be complete.
Speaking of, marriage is what I wanted to talk about. My daughter, Juliet, what do you think about marriage?
I don't really think about that honor.
An honor? If I wasn't the only person to nurse you, I would say you had sucked wisdom from my nipple.
Well, let's think about marriage. Women younger than you in Verona, women of high standing, are made already mothers. If I remember, I was a mother at your age, and you are still a virgin. After all that is said, it seems Paris wants you to love him.
A man, young lady. He's a real man of the world. Why, he looks sculpted from wax.
He is prettier than any flower here during the summer.
He is a mighty flower, such a flower.
What do you think? Can you love him? Tonight you shall see him at the party. Read Paris's face and find the beauty drawn on it. Examine every feature and see how they work together. And if you see anything imperfect, look into his eyes. His love for you will make him more beautiful to you. You shall feel pride his appearance matches yours. Many eyes will be looking at him and his status, and you can gain his status. And by having him, you won't be any less.
Any less? No, bigger. Women tend to increase in size from men for about 9 months.
So, can you try to love Paris?
I'll try to love him, but no more than what I have permission to.
Enter Peter.
Ma'am, your guests are here. Dinner's all done. You were called for. Juliet was asked for. Nurse scolded in the pantry, and we have so much... everything. I must leave. Please, come on.
We're coming.
Exit Peter.
Go, girl, find a man to make your days and nights happy.
All exit. Scene 4, a street. Enter Romeo, Mercutio, Benvolio, with 5 or 6 maskers, torchbearers, and others.
What is our excuse for being here? Or should we go in unapologetically?
We don't need any excuse. No Cupid to sneak us in bearing his bow, keeping all the ladies away. No entrance speech to prompt us. They can use what they like to judge us, then we'll dance a few songs and leave.
Give me the flashlight. I'm not up for partying. So I don't ruin it for you, I will stay outside.
No, you gotta dance.
I don't dance. You dance very well. My shoes become heavy and plant me in one spot.
You are a lover. See if you can borrow Cupid's wings and dance with the rest of us.
I am still too hurt by Cupid's arrow to use his feather, and on the ground I can't even jump from sadness. Love's burden is heavy on my shoulders.
And you should be heavy on love's shoulders then. You're too sad for such a wonderful thing.
Is love wonderful? It is rough, rude, and wild, and it hurts like thorns.
If love is rough with you, be rough with love. Hurt love for hurting you, and you can beat love. Give me a mask. A cover for a mask. What do I care? Who cares about imperfections? All the women should blush at me.
Let's knock and go in. Come on, stand up.
I will stay outside. Let light women dance while I stay still like an old man. I will keep watch. Love isn't fair, so I'm done.
Psh, you boring mouse. Police are out. If you are lame, we'll pull you from the swamp of this love, where you are stuck up to the ears. Come on, it's getting late.
No, it's already late.
I mean, it is late compared to the start of the party. Our lamps are going out like the sun at dusk. You know what we mean, for you understand us most other times.
I know it's supposed to be fun going to this party, but it isn't a good idea.
Why, may I ask?
I had a dream.
So did I.
Well, what was yours?
That dreamers often lie.
In bed, asleep, where their dreams are true.
Well then, I see Queen Mab has been with you. She's a nurse to fairies, and she's no bigger than a crystal for someone's finger. She's a carriage drawn by skeletons that lands on men's noses while they sleep. Her wagon spokes are made of spiders' legs. The cover of the wagon is the wings of grasshoppers and traces of spider's web, decorated with moonbeams. Her whip's a cricket's bone. Her driver's a small gray gnat, no bigger than a little worm off the finger of a lazy woman. Her chariot is an empty hazelnut, emptied by squirrels or bugs. It's the best from the fairies' wagons. Like that, she rides around every night through lovers' brains, and then they dream of love. Courtmen, the dream of court. Or lawyers, who dream of money. Or ladies, who dream of being kissed. But if Mab is angry, then their dreams are tainted. Or, other times, to the courtman, he dreams of a new suit. Sometimes she will use an offering pig to tickle the sleeping pastor's nose, then he dreams of more offerings. Sometimes she gets a soldier's neck, and he dreams of killing his foes, of breaches, ambushes, Spanish blades, of alcohol. Then he hears drums, then he wakes, and being scared, says a prayer, and sleeps again. It's all Mab. The Mab's horse's manes in the night makes the hair stand up, hair once untangled, complete mess. This is the hag when women sleep on their backs. Gives her sex dreams and teaches her to create and carry a child. She is...
Mercutio, stop. You're not saying anything.
True. I'm talking about dreams, which come from an empty brain and are born from nothing but fantasy. They're thinner than air, more consistent than the wind, who keeps the north cold at the end of summer. When the wind is angry, it moves more south.
The wind has pulled us off track. They are done eating. We need to go in.
My mind's still worried that something bad, bitterly beginning tonight, will happen that will cause my vile... an untimely death. But my friends have convinced me. Let's go, you thirsty gentlemen.
Play, band!
All exit. Scene 5. A hall in Capulet's house. Musicians waiting. Enter serving men with napkins.
Where's the dishwasher? Where did he go? He should be helping us.
He had to go wash his foul hands.
Remove the stools and the side table. See the plate? Well, good. At least you can do something. And as you love me, go get Susan, Grindstone, Nell, Antony, and Pot Pan.
Yes, sir.
They're looking for you in the main hall.
We can't be in both places. Come on, men. Hurry up and let their livers enjoy themselves.
Enter Capulet with Juliet and others of his house, meeting the guests and maskers.
Welcome, gentlemen. Ladies who have toes with no warts, I call on you. Aha, you lovely ladies. Who will now deny me a dance? The dainty one? I swear as warts. Am I heading the right way? Welcome, gentlemen. I miss the days I wore a mask and flirted with a fair maid. All I wanted, but that's over. That's over. That's over. Enjoy, gentlemen. Come on, musicians, play. Fill the hall and make room. Dance, girls.
Music plays, and they dance.
We need more light and move the tables, and turn down the fire. The room is too hot. Ah, sir, it has been a while. Come sit, Cousin Capulet, since we are too old to dance. How long is it now since last yourself and I wore a mask?
If I remember right, 30 years.
Really? It's not been that long. It was at Lucentio's wedding, around Easter. About 25 years ago we wore masks.
That's more than that. Son is older, sir. Son is 30.
Really? His son was my ward 2 years ago.
To a serving man.
Who is the lady over there who's holding the hand of that knight?
I don't know, sir.
She is brighter than a torch. She hangs in night like an earring from Ethiopia. She's too beautiful for money or this earth. She is a dove in a group of crows. She shines so bright. When this song is done, I will find her, and I will touch her blessed hand. Have I ever loved before? No, for I haven't seen beauty before tonight.
I know this should be a Montague by his voice. Get my sword, boy. How dare he come here, covered in a mask, to ruin our party? Now, to honor my family, I know killing him isn't a sin.
Hey, Tybalt, why are you so angry?
Uncle, he's a Montague, our enemy. He came to ruin the party and to laugh at us.
Is it the young Romeo?
It is the villain Romeo.
Relax, cousin, and leave him alone. He isn't causing any issues. And everyone in Verona speaks highly of him. He is virtuous and has manners. I wouldn't have killed him here for all of the town's wealth. It is rude to kill a guest, so ignore him and have fun. I command you, and remove your frowns and enjoy the feast.
I frown since our guest is a villain. I won't stand for this.
You will. He is a good kid and I say leave him alone. Remember, I am the master here. You won't just stand for him, I swear. You will upset my guest. You will set an example. You'll be a man.
Uncle, why? This is shameful.
Go away. You are a hothead, aren't you? This may shame you, I know. But you must listen to me. Oh my, it's time. Let's start. You are a cocky asshole. Go. Hushor. We need more light. How dare you? I'll keep you quiet. Wonderful, my loves.
This patience is killing me. Them being here is making my flesh crawl. I will hold back, but only for now, and I will let this anger grow.
Exit Tybalt. To Juliet.
Even if I have an unworthy hand compared to your hand, you are still gentle. My lips are ready to relax you with a kiss.
Oh, sir, you let your hand do too much. What is compelling you to do this? We can touch palms even if you are worthy, and palm to palm is a holy kiss.
Can't lips be a holy kiss?
Only if those lips are kissing a prayer.
Then let's let our lips do what hands do. They pray, and if not, faith is lost.
Saints only pray when they need to.
Then don't do anything while I pray. I will use your lips to remove my sins.
He kisses her.
Then my lips have your sin.
Sin from my lips? We can't have that. Give me my sin back.
He kisses her again.
You're a wonderful kisser.
Ma'am, your mother needs you.
Who's her mother?
Well, sir, her mother is the lady of this house, and she is a wise and virtuous and good lady, and I am the nurse of the girl you were talking to, and I'm telling you, anyone who gets her will be the luckiest man.
Is she a Capulet? Oh, shit. I owe my love to my enemy.
Come on, let's leave while the party's at its best.
Of course. That will make me more restless.
No, guys, don't leave. There's so much party left. Is it that late? I guess it is. Then thank you. Thank you, men. Good night. More light here. Come on, then. Let's go to bed. Ah, sir, it is very late. I'll go rest.
All exit but Juliet and Nurse.
Come here, Nurse. Who is that gentleman?
That's Tiberio's son.
Who is that going out the door?
Oh, I think that is young Petruchio.
Who is it that follows him? That wouldn't dance?
I don't know.
Go ask him his name. If he is married, my grave is going to be my wedding bed.
His name is Romeo, and he's a Montague, and the only son of your enemy.
My only love born from my only hate. I shouldn't have fallen in love without knowing his name. It is strange that I love such a tremendous enemy.
What? What's this?
I learned that saying from someone I danced with. Someone is calling for me.
Come on, let's go while the strangers are gone.
All exit.
Thank you for listening to Romeo and Juliet, Act 1. If you like what you heard, please look the podcast up on Facebook as Modern Shakespeare Uncensored, and on Instagram and Twitter as @MSUPodcast, and Tumblr as modernshakespeareuncensored.tumblr.com. The website, msu-podcast.com, also has a written translation side-by-side with the original Shakespearean wording. Song and sound effect credits and resources that we use to translate are available on our website. We look forward to sharing Romeo and Juliet Act 2 with you the first Sunday of next month. But until then, remember, we know what we are, but know not what we may be.